Okay, well, I've kind of written this out, but I'm going to try and not read it all, but I might have to go back to it because, you know, but so bear with me if I read bits out and I just do other bits off piece, then, you know, that's fine. So I called my talk today Joining Up the Dots, and I think we all have stories to share. We've all got lives that we've lived, stories to tell, and this is part of my story today. So I wanted to encourage you with it. I wanted to lift you up with it. I hope it does. And I was thinking this morning about the story of the loaves and the fishes and how the little boy bought his five loaves, was it the other way around, five loaves and two fish, and how God multiplied them. And I just thought, I hope that's what happens this morning, that I just bring my story, which is all I've got to bring, and I hope that it's multiplied somehow in your lives or if you take it away and think about things. So I think all our stories are a gift. They're not just stories that we've got about our lives, but they're actually a gift. Everything we have about our lives is a gift, and they make up the tapestry of our lives, and we're richer for them, and they're to be celebrated. I think there's something to be celebrated. And so I've also got another celebration today, because Ben, my son-in-law, my wonderful son-in-law, is here, and it's his birthday. Yay! So I think, great guy coming out on his birthday to hear his mother-in-law speak. I'm very honoured, and so in the light of that, I have got something to share. So thought you could pass one round each side. So some celebrations. So when you take this, remember you're celebrating your life story as well and Ben's birthday. So here we go. So just pass them round. Yeah. I'm here because once in a cell group, I said that I felt I should step up and chat, take the challenge of doing a talk. And yes, I won't mention any names, but I thought it was a bit like having a gym subscription. You take out the subscription, you never go to the gym. And I thought by saying I'd do a talk, that was enough. But actually, somebody in our cell group said no, told Louise, and then Louise set me a date, and so here I am. So you have to be careful what you say, but there we go. So I want to just give you a short introduction first, just some examples from the Bible, and then go into some more personal things. So I was thinking in the Bible we have examples of where the beginnings for many people were different from the way that their lives ended or how God used them later on. That God turned things around for them using their past to create their future, and they did great exploits for God. So I just thought that phrase that God can use our past to create our future is actually something that we could all think about. You know, whatever experiences you've got in your life, God can take them and turn them around or use them to create your future. So I thought of three Bible characters who could give an example of this. Esther is one of them. She was a Jew. She could have been killed along with her people, but she was brought into the king's palace and used her position there to save her people. So from being a Jew and being in danger, her life was turned around, and God really used her there. Joseph was rejected and thrown into a pit by his brothers. He was lied against, put in prison, but then he came to a place where he was able to help his family, and he again saved his people, that God completely turned his life around, and from being in a pit, he ended up being king. And then there was Moses, who's floated down the river in a basket by his family to save his life, rescued, and then he killed somebody, but God used him as well to lead his people out of Egypt. So I just thought of those three characters, how God took people whose lives, you know, were ordinary, things had happened to them that weren't good, and completely turned them around. So I just kind of struck me that God is really in the business of taking us, healing, restoring and loving us and setting us on our way again. That wherever we've come from, whatever's happened, good, bad, whatever, God can take that. And I thought it was almost like one of those little wind-up toys, you know, that you wind up and they walk, 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 and then suddenly they go flat and they just lose their battery. And I just thought Jesus comes along kind of beside us, winds us up again, sets us on our way, recharges us. And sometimes it's in a direction we never dreamed of. He sets us off in a different direction. And sometimes we have to fall down to be lifted up, to be set off in a new way. And I've been reading this book. I suppose lots of people have read it. Richard Rohr, Falling Upwards. And I thought the title, Joining Up the Dots, was somewhere from this book. So I thought I'd better read the book. But actually I haven't found it in this book. So I obviously got the title from somewhere else. But I just want to read on the back here. It says, with rare insight, Rohr takes us on a journey to give us understanding how the heartbreaks, disappointment, and the first loves of life are actually stepping stones to the spiritual joys that the second half of life has in store for us. So it's like, you know, what the first half of life is can be completely turned around and actually can really liberate us for the second half of life. And being that I'm in the second half of life, I thought I'd better start reading books like this. Only just. But it's a really good book. So it just struck me that we're not stuck in the pattern of the first half of our life, but through falling down, actually falling down sometimes, and our weaknesses, and letting our true selves be found, that God can use that in an amazing way. And I find it sort of helpful to think of my life as a lot of dots. You know, you think of your family, where you went to school, your friends, your relationships, the pains you've been through, the joys, the achievements, the works, the hobbies. They're all dots of life. And they're all kind of all around us, all the things that make us who we are. So I just wanted to share my story. In the last 3 years, I've seen some of the dots in my life being joined up. And I think they look like random dots. This happened, that happened, this happened, that happened. And it's a bit like one of those join the dot pictures, you know, when you follow the dots round and you actually end up with a picture of something in a children's sort of book. And I still can't say what the picture fully is, but because I think it's still being joined up. But I wanted to give you a picture of what's been going on. So I want you to kind of now take your imaginations with me to some different little snapshots or dots of my life. And then I'll share with you how they've kind of joined up. So imagine yourself with me in these situations. If you want to shut your eyes or look out of the window or something, or just listen. So a group of children, one who is almost five, walking across a gangplank onto a boat, a large boat called the Chusan, sailing from the Philippines to Singapore, being waved off by parents on the quayside, knowing it would be many months before they were together again, as the parents were doing missionary work and the children were going away to school. All of the children were Americans except for one English girl, and when they went to the restaurant, they could choose what they wanted to eat. The Americans all chose hamburgers, while the English girl asked for a lightly boiled egg. The next one is an imposing, austere building in Newington Green, London, once headquarters for China Inland Mission, later to become Overseas Missionary Fellowship. In one room, there was a bookcase with glass doors full of Chinese artifacts and memories from the time when the mission used to be in China. And for a four-year-old child, it was right on eye level and intriguing, full of books and fans and all sorts of things in there from China. But the most intriguing was a long, what looked like gold-thin tube. And it was all decorated and ornate and been engraved. Many years ago, the ruling Chinese would fix this over their small finger, and it would hang down 12 inches or more so their nail could grow long inside the tube and not break. Possibly a sign they were wealthy and didn't have to work. But to a four-year-old, this was both fascinating and enthralling. A Mercedes taxi with a group of young children being driven from Kuala Lumpur to the Cameron Highlands. 3 hours of winding roads up and up and up and round the mountains, feeling very car sick. Finally arriving at Chifu, a missionary boarding school set in the lush green jungles of the highlands. And now winding the clock forward, a 55-year-old being prayed for by 3 Chinese house church fathers in Hong Kong, finding freedom from an orphan spirit and from damaging experiences of being a missionary kid. And the Chinese fathers expressing deep gratitude for the missionaries who came to China many years ago to bring the gospel and the sacrifices that were made. An English woman hugging a weeping Chinese woman in Hong Kong and having an overwhelming realization as to why many missionaries love the Chinese so much to leave home and bring the gospel to China. A picture of 2 ceremonial guards with busbies walking in the dawn light outside Buckingham Palace preparing for duty. And the words, "It's time to move on from the dogs into the family business." And finally, sitting in a care home in Birmingham with two ex-missionaries, my parents, both with some wonderful memories of their friends and ministry in Asia, but as well as some very painful memories and hurts from the family separation during their missionary days. We were watching Songs of Praise. A group of Chinese were on a pilgrimage to Nottingham to visit the home of Hudson Taylor. And apparently his house was right where the sort of, the shampoo counter was or something. So they actually came to the spot in boots in Nottingham where he'd been. And they were absolutely so excited. He was the founder of China Inland Mission, an OMF. And they wanted to express appreciation for the gospel coming to China via Hudson Taylor and the missionaries who came, and how they wouldn't have met Jesus had the missionaries not come. And just sitting there with my parents felt like a joining up of the dots, like a full circle, that as we sat there 50 years later and the Chinese Christians were coming to England with thankful hearts, there was a kind of feeling of full circle and, things kind of beginning to make sense. So you may be getting an idea of what God's been joining up. I don't know if those pictures are just random dots to you or if you can see any connection there. But in 2013, I was invited to a gathering in Hong Kong by James. It was an off-the-cuff invite, why don't you come? It was as casual and relaxed and unpressurizing as that. But I instantly felt, yes, I want to go. I really want to go. I was so excited to think about going because I hadn't been back to Asia since I was a child, and I loved the idea of being in a place where God was moving, which obviously this gathering was going to be something quite profound and exciting. And also, I think being a missionary child, I always liked to travel and have an adventure and be part of something bigger. So I was like, yay, this is my chance, get on a plane, go to Asia, have a great time, it's really going to be good. So I was really excited to go. It was a bit of a battle to get there, all sorts of things cropped up. But it was exciting and I was ready for off. Once I stepped off the plane and got to the hotel, which was 5-star, it was 5-star, not the usual Christian kind of, conference centre. It was lovely and fabulous. I thought, this is it. I'm in Asia, 5-star hotel. This is fantastic. But I also had this amazing sense that I'd arrived home, incredible sense of arriving home. And the gathering was actually called Homecoming. And it was just like that for me in a physical sense. It was the hills, the vegetation, the smells, everything just suddenly seemed very familiar. And when you put an old coat on or something and it just fits right, it just felt like that. And I was surprised how many emotions were kind of stirred and how much it evoked inside me. And I realised that Asia and all that had happened there was actually deeply woven into my DNA. It was actually a really very big part of my life. So that was I was surprised by that. But it was a good feeling to be back. And in brief, I'm sure Jamie could do this better and Charlotte than me, but we went to bring an apology to the Chinese Christians at the gathering who'd requested that we went. For the way that the imperial nations, Britain included, had behaved to the Chinese during the Opium Wars and all the things that had happened there, and to ask forgiveness as Christians today, to the Chinese as Christians today, so they could kind of move on from their past. The Chinese had asked for this gesture and thought it would help them to kind of be free to be who they were and kind of move away from that sort of imperialistic kind of memories of Christianity and to separate it so that they were free today to go out, and they wanted to see about 1 million missionaries going out from China all over the world. So this was kind of part of how they felt God was showing them to do this. So we were really excited to go and to be able to do that. And I have a picture of it, I think, if this works. Is this what I'm supposed to do? Pardon me? The other way. Whoops. No.
You need to slide the side up to be on.
It is on. Oh, hang on. Is it on? Yeah. Oh, it's, yeah. Is it red is on, is it?
Yeah.
Green is on, yeah. Oh, there we go. Hey. Anyway, sorry, it's not very good, but you can kind of see us on the stage there with the banner. Jamie's there somewhere. Charlotte's at the end. I'm somewhere at the back because I wore jean short cutoffs that day and I didn't realise it was the day we were doing the thing, so I hid at the back. But it was amazing, and if you want to know any more, ask James and Charlotte as well. The Chinese responded by asking for forgiveness as well. They They accepted the apology. But then they responded by asking for forgiveness for the missionaries that had been killed during the Boxer uprisings. And it was a very, very deep, profound, moving moment. And even though my parents hadn't been there at that time, obviously they weren't old enough, I was still kind of felt like I had that missionary connection. So there was obviously something stirring in me that was very deep. And the whole thing was, I mean, I've never been anything like it. There was about 20,000 people plus in the arena. And it was just incredible, really. And it was very powerful. It was so powerful to be on the platform I put with the team, with our team, and with 20,000 plus people in the arena, and bring this apology to a group of Chinese leaders. It was as if some of the dots in my life began to join up. I thought, I was a missionary child. Here I am back in Asia, in a mission that had originated in China, and now being part of this moment. It seemed like a kind of coming together. It felt like there was a sense coming. And I thought, if this is the reason I've come to Hong Kong, if this is my life, if this is what my whole life has been leading up to, this moment to bring this apology and part of this team, it kind of makes sense for my whole life. My parents were missionaries. I can be here as part of the team to represent perhaps some of the missionaries of the past. I thought, that's it. That kind of makes sense of everything. You know, I can kind of go home now and get on with my life. I'm kind of done. God's used me for whatever I'm going to do. That's fantastic. So I felt very excited, and I thought, that's great. But the apology just seemed to somehow open a door for more. It was like once that was made, the door kind of opened, and something happened to me which I couldn't have dreamt for, hoped for, or even expected. Because, as you know, I went to Hong Kong kind of for a bit of a, you know, good time and have fun, and I didn't expect that it was going to be incredibly life-changing. Because after a meeting, there was a meeting with the Chinese fathers. That's what they like to be called. The leaders wanted to now be called the fathers, in the sense that they wanted to father the family, look after the Chinese. And they were talking about that on the stage. And I found the talk they gave really emotional, really moving. And in fact, I've spent the whole of the gathering, as Jamie and Charlotte will tell you, either feeling emotional or being moved. I think we all did. It was a very emotional time. And through an extraordinary chain of events, I found myself being prayed for by three of the Chinese fathers. They came off the stage and just walked past the end of our row, and I was there feeling quite emotional. And they came over and they asked what was wrong, because they knew Jamie, and I was sitting next to Jamie. And they spoke via an interpreter. And as they stood there, they felt that I had what they felt was an orphan spirit. I think this must have come from the years that I was at boarding school, which, although wonderful, because we were at school in the jungle, we had parents who looked after us, say, you know, aunties and uncles, it was still very painful, because with that came the pain of family separation, loneliness, bullying, silent tears at night in the dorm, and fears, paralyzing fears. So there was a lot of good things, but there was also a lot of difficult things that were there. And I think during that time, because I went when I wasn't even five, I was rising five, it was very painful, and I think I felt like an orphan because I wasn't with my parents for most of those young years. So they prayed for me in Chinese, and it was as if a glass ceiling around me over the next few hours, I felt shattered. It's like I'd been in a kind of under a glass ceiling or even in a glass box, and it broke, it went. And I felt connected to God as a father in a way that I hadn't done before. And I felt the Father's love for me in a way that I never had. So I was going to read something from my journal, but I just wanted to explain in a way that you might be able to connect with it, I don't know if you've all seen Frozen, probably the film Frozen. And it was a bit like that, you know, when everything comes back to life in Frozen, and sort of the ice all cracks and it all comes back into life. Or in Narnia, when the witch has turned everything to winter, and Aslan comes and breathes on the children and the statues, and everything comes back into life, and it comes back into colour from being a frosty grey. There's suddenly colour and life, and everything cracks open, and the life comes out. It's kind of, I think, what I felt then, and over the next weeks and months, it was that feeling of kind of life coming out. And so I want to read something from my diary, which is actually quite personal. So, but take it as you kind of you hear it. I just felt it was what God was saying to me afterwards. Because I went back to my room afterwards and I was just sort of there for ages and I just really felt like I kind of was having surgery. I felt like I was connecting with God in a way I'd never been able to before. And he was so real. And he was speaking sort of thoughts into my heart and mind. So so I just had these thoughts that came to me that were like, God approves totally of me. He thinks I'm great. Sorry, that's what I felt. I'm one of the family and can come home, kick off my shoes, put up my feet and make a mess. I'm loved. I have nothing to prove or to be a part of. I'm accepted. And I felt him say, I parted the sea to get you here. I ushered you into Hong Kong. I've been preparing this day for us. I've looked forward to it. And now we're united here as father and daughter. I'm so glad you're here with me, so proud of you. I want to tell everyone. I've written my diary all back to front. It's all in jots. Anyway, there's just a bit here. It says, your obedience has broken the glass, and I can now reach down and touch you, my beautiful daughter. With the glass, the distortions of lies have shattered, and I have come and brought you home, my little love. I'm so happy we're all rejoicing over the return of our little Jane, so precious and so lost. But you have been found, my little one. I brought you back into the fold. Come with me. How I've missed you, agonized over you. Couldn't feel me. It was like there was a glass between us. We could not see or touch or feel. But that glass has been broken by the apology and the giving and receiving of forgiveness. The glass is shattered forever, and I have run through and scooped my little Jane into my arms. You have no idea how long I have longed and waited for this moment. You are my beautiful, beautiful daughter. I can't stop looking at you. Let me look at you. You are so beautiful, and I'm so proud of you. I never meant for all that to happen. It wasn't my plan. But your healing has come. Today is my time. I was always here, picking you up, loving you, holding you close, but you couldn't feel me. But I was there, but now you can, and in the course of the right time, I could break through. Because of your obedience in coming here, because of the apology, I was free to move in your life. So, as if that wasn't enough. I mean, it was so emotional. This was like, whoa. It had come to light that I heard later of an event called Chifu Reconsidered at my old boarding school. It had come to light that many of the pupils had been struggling all their lives, as I had, with issues from boarding school experiences in Malaysia and all the pain of separation. The time had come to address this issue. And the mission graciously wrote an apology for the way they'd done things in those days, recognising the pain it had caused and what they could do now to help parents and children. I had a strong sense over this time God was saying, this isn't what I meant it to be. It made his heart sad to see the struggles of children and parents on the mission field, and it was now time to heal. So in October, a few days after Ben and Lucy's wedding, wonderful wedding, I was off to Asia again. It was exciting. More dots felt like they were joining up. As Hong Kong had been a time for healing, I felt Chifu Reconsidered would be a time of restoration. It was a great week back in the school, now a conference centre. I've just got a few pictures of it. That was the mission, all the missionaries. And for some reason, I was the only little girl on that picture, me. And my mum and dad are somewhere there. Yeah, there we are. That was in the missionary. It's just so missionary, isn't it? So missionary. And there we are at school on the slide. And I'm somewhere up there, about fourth, fifth up on the slide. That was actually at the school. That was just the jungle. That's what it was like around the school. Literally, we went out, we were swinging on, you know, jungle vines, climbing in the jungle. It was amazing. That's the actual school, which is now a conference centre. And that's just a view, you know, it was all like that all around. Yeah, that's for later. Okay. So, anyway, yeah, so it was a great, great time. We went back and we were kind of adults, but we were kind of children as well. We did all the things we'd done at school, you know, climbing, going by the stream, enjoying the flowers, even drinking wine, which we sneaked in because it was a Methodist conference centre. So it's at night in our rooms drinking wine out of cups. It's like, oh, you're a naughty schoolgirls. But it was great. It was really fun. And there were also two TCK counsellors there, which is third culture kids. because we were in England. We came from England. Our parents were in the Philippines, or mine were, and we were at school in Malaysia. So we were actually living in three cultures. So we were MKs, which is missionary kids, but we were also TCKs, which is third culture kids. And there were two TCK counselors there to help us kind of process the good things and the bad things and help us work it through, which is really helpful and very deep. And we did something to symbolize these when we were there, and it was that we had something called we did this thing with candles and ribbons, and the ribbons are to celebrate the good things in our lives, and the candle was to kind of just demonstrate and the pain, really, the pains that we'd all been through as children being separated. So we had a main candle. It doesn't want to light. Actually, does someone want to come and light the candle? Because it's going to, I don't know, it doesn't seem to want to behave itself. There we go. So we had a candle, and we each then had a smaller candle, and we came and lit it off the main candle to kind of just demonstrate that, yes, it had been painful. We're not going to deny it was painful. And then we could each pick up a ribbon, and we just picked up the ribbon, and that was to celebrate the good things. So that's basically what we did. And then we had just a huge amount of candles all around the big one. Then we each took some ribbon home. In fact, I bought one with ladybirds and one that was red with hearts on. Just, you could take whatever you wanted. But I thought it was just lovely because you're recognising, yes, things did happen that weren't good, but they were also really good things too. So that was just to demonstrate that. So anyway, on the last day, we'll get this up the right way. There we go. I wanted a memory to take home from Chifu. And so in the early morning, I'm not an early morning person, but I thought, I have to get down, I have to get up early for breakfast, do this, go and find my memory, maybe a pebble from the stream, which is a really pretty stream that ran down the back of the school. I'll go and get a pebble, I can take it home, then I'll always have something tangible to remember this time, because it's been a great week, you know, I've had good talks with people, I've had some insights, it's been really good. So I went down to the stream. It was misty. I got some more pictures, but it was kind of very misty. There was kind of bamboo and stream, and it was actually beautiful. It doesn't look so beautiful, but it was lovely. It was beautifully green. It was quiet. And as I walked, I thought of Psalm 23, you know, that walking by still waters, Jesus. And I actually then had this amazing, almost tangible sense that Jesus was actually with me. Walking by the stream, and I just walked up and down this grass here, just kind of thinking and just thinking about the week, and I didn't really want to go because it was a really nice place to be. It was just peaceful, and it was great. And then I felt that little Jane, the little girl of me from Chifu, was in the stillness there with me, and she was watching from behind one of the trees. Obviously, I didn't see this, but you just sometimes sense things very, and they're almost very real inside you. And behind those trees somewhere was this little girl, the 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old girl, was kind of shy and looking. And I know it sounds a bit odd, but I did actually start speaking to her because I just felt I should. It was just something that all sort of happened. I didn't plan it. And I just said to her, look, I'm going home to England today. I'm getting the plane home. It's time to come home with me. You need to come home now. I want you to come home with me. And but she said she wanted to stay. She said, I want to stay here. All my friends are here. My sort of family is here. And I don't want to come home. I want to stay here. So I was really, I thought, well, that's it. You know, if she stays here, I go home to England. There'll always be a part of me in Malaysia. And so I went back to breakfast, very teary, mascara running down my face. Somebody said, well, you might as well not put your mascara on. Look, your face is covered in it. And I met a friend, Ruth, and she said, I'm coming back to the stream with you. She said, this is the time. The little Jane needs to come home. This is the time. So I went back to the stream, and I stayed there, and I encouraged her. I said, I want you to come home with me. I want to take you back to England. I want you to meet my family. I want you to see where I live. And, oh dear. And I just stood there. And eventually, this little girl walked towards me. And as she did, I found myself screaming out No one was with me, thankfully, but somebody later said they did hear me screaming out from the depths of my being. I mean, it was like from here, and I bent over and I screamed out, I let go, I let go, I let go. This place no longer defines me, because my whole life, my boarding school experiences have defined me. They kind of made me who I was held there. And I just felt something happen then. There was this massive sense of release, like a ball and chain around my foot was gone, and this little girl was kind of integrated into my life now. And I wasn't a child at boarding school anymore. I was a free and complete person. But little Jane was coming home with me, but she was coming back to England, and we were going to be together. And it wasn't always going to be half me somewhere else, where I'd always been very lonely and been many sad times. So for me, that was a homecoming. That was like more dots joining. It was like, wow, I had to go to Asia, to Hong Kong. I had to go to Chifu, and that all happens almost a year after. I couldn't have planned this. It was just extraordinary, and it was amazing. And I just thought I'd gone to the stream to take something home with me, and I found the best gift of all, little Jane. She came home with me. And, yeah. So what do the joined up dots look like now? Oh, dear. I feel very different than I did before I started this talk. Oh, dear. I feel more connected. I actually feel more connected. I feel happier and I feel energised. I really do. And I'm beginning to understand what the two pictures, what the picture meant at Buckingham Palace, that the words family business, what it really means. And I felt I should give up my dog business, which wasn't easy, but meant I was free to move on. My family are here today, well, all of them except Matt, and they're amazing. And I just feel more connected to them than I have before. I wish I felt like this years ago, when they were younger, but I didn't. But I'm glad I do now. And I so appreciate them. My parents have needed a lot of support over the last couple of years, and I've been able to do that. I've connected with my Chifu family and my missionary and boarding school life, which is good. It's been good. I've gone full circle and connected. And I've met a new family through the Gatherings family, which is something I've been involved in. I love, because it's so exciting and it's vibrant, and it's also working with the Chinese. It's praying for people around the world and seeing God move around the world and just doing some amazing things. So for me, that's like a new family. I've been given a new family. I've connected with my old family. I've connected with my lovely family here. And also, just practical things, I've begun to enjoy my garden. I don't know why, I've suddenly enjoyed gardening. It must be an age thing and birding. It's like, look, Ma, there's a blue tit in the garden. It's exciting. I think, oh, it's a sign of getting older. But I've also been able to just enjoy things. It's like colours come back into my life. And I work in a clothes shop part-time, and I love that, because sometimes I get to do a bit of modelling, get to try on all the clothes. And for me, it's just fun. It's just colour. It's just life. And I don't know if that would ever have happened before. And I'd have felt a bit guilty thinking, well, it's a bit frivolous. But now I think, oh, hey, I don't care, I love it. So I think this is all part of a journey, and I've got a long way to go. The big picture's changed, but on a daily basis, there are always choices to make, temptations and habits to overcome. And I fall down a lot. The big picture's changed, but it's still working it out day by day, and it's an ongoing process. I said, the dots are still being joined up, and I think it takes a lifetime to see the whole picture. But I'm so thankful for what I can see so far. God's amazing. So that's my story, but I just wanted to put a few things down to kind of, so it could kind of be applicable, you know, maybe take something home. And I just thought, when we let God in, he can make sense of our lives' experiences, heal them and turn them around, and turn them into a beautiful picture and join the dots. And on our part, we can have a willingness to let go and leave the past behind. We have to do that, which is sometimes quite difficult, like the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. They had to leave Egypt. And even though they wanted to go, there was also things that they, you know, probably wanted to take, but they had to leave it behind. Sometimes it's hard to do that because our identity is who we are, the victim, and actually sometimes we have to walk away from that. To step out when we have an opportunity to do so. If someone ever says to you, do you want to go to Hong Kong? If Jamie ever invites you anywhere, go. Don't question it. Absolutely go. Every opportunity, just step out. You know, do it. And be open to God to work with him, because he always has the best for us. He always has the best. So I think, yeah, just if you take that away, then that's fine, if, you know. So there was a song, actually, I wanted to play, and I said to Andrew, rack up the beat, get some volume. And it's a song that sums up how I want to live my life every day in the light of what God's done for me. And I don't say in any way I'm there, but I just say God has miraculously changed the big picture of my life. And so this song kind of just sums up really how I want to live my life every day now. And so I guess that's it. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Oh. Sorry.
That's wonderful. Shall we pray together before we hear the song, which is on its way through the system to us? Let's just be still and let those thoughts, emotions just settle in our hearts for a moment, and ask God what he wants to do in our lives as a result of what we've heard this morning, what we've experienced together. So just quiet for a moment, and then I'll pray. Jesus, thank you for Jane's story, for her vulnerability this morning, for her openness and her honesty. And I just pray that you would continue to walk with her, as you have been, particularly over these last few years, but as you have been, as she's testified to you this morning, over the whole of her life. And I want to pray for each one of us this morning, that we would be as Jane's hope for us at the beginning of her talk would be, to be encouraged, to be lifted up, to be stood on our feet again, and to step into those places that perhaps are difficult for us to be honest with you, to be honest with others, with ourselves, such that we can know health and healing and restoration in our own lives. So help us wherever we are, however we're responding to what we've just heard. We pray that you'd meet us in that place. If we need to have conversations, that you'd help us. If we just need to spend time with you on our own, as Jane has highlighted she has done, that we'd find that space, that we'd make that a priority, such that we can push into you and receive the things that you want to bring into our lives at this particular moment. So we thank you. We praise you that you're a God who brings hope and restoration and healing. And we trust you. And we pray that you do that in each of our lives as a result of what we've heard and experienced this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's hear the song. Thank you, Andrew.
Woo!